I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dirt on Flowers. Shan, I feel like we have not recorded in a while.
I know.
We've been batching ahead, and now it's like we're recording the week of.
We're back at it.
We are back at it. We're in the season.
Season's here, running about 24 hours ahead of where I need to be, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I despise that more than anything, but that's the nature of spring.
Yes, we are full at it. Are your tulips done? Well, not your you pick tulips, but are your other tulips done?
Yes, greenhouse ones are, thank the Lord, are done. I have some storing safely in the cooler.
Yep.
Hoping for Mother's Day. I know we've kind of talked about tulips a little bit here before, but you know, I always save some for Mother's Day and it's always like three-ish weeks. And I still feel like when I pull them out, even as perfect as I try to make the storage method and everything, it's still kind of like half-see, which ones are good and which ones are bad. So, but yes, I'm officially so sick of tulips. I can't even barely say the word without getting rage inside me.
Yeah, they are a tough crop. I mean,
yeah.
And I also this year for us, you know, it felt like so much more because we had 20,000 less last year.
Yes.
So this year I kept going like, they just keep coming. Like they're
our butts kicked.
They won't stop. Yeah. We had new employees start the, you know, right in the mid tulip season. And so you're just breaking them in. I'm like, I'm sorry. It is ice cold. Tomorrow it's going to be, you know, super hot. You're going to need sunscreen. And we're just, you know, processing tulips. But yeah, it really, it has me thinking though, this is what I love about farming and owning a business though, because you go through this process and when you're in the heat of it, I'm thinking, how can I make this better for next year?
Oh,
how
100%.
Can I make this easier? Because
yes.
Tulips are one of those crops that are just extremely labor intensive. So I always love learning hacks that can make it quicker. Mm-hmm. And I just think back to when I first did them, how I was digging them out of the ground and I was storing them upright in crates with the bulb on. And I was, and now, you know, now I'm just like, or just even the way we dry store them, I'm like, you're just getting thrown into a crate. You know, it's like so much less.
Tough.
And they are tough. Yeah. And even thinking about timing, and obviously we have, you know, we're growing in a high tunnel with some of these tulips, but the way our spring CSA lines up, we always run through Mother's Day with our spring CSA because we don't start it until I feel like we really have enough to sell to our customers and to have our subscriptions to fill and grocery and everything all at once. So it's always sort of like a slow warm up. But I'm going to switch for next year and I'm going to do a lot more in the high tunnel and start my CSA subscriptions earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to start just heavy with tulips. And I know you do a tulip only subscription, don't you?
Yeah.
A
4 week. Yeah.
We're going to switch that up. I'm going to start it sooner and start with greenhouse tulips because they did so fantastic and then have less in the field. And then switch to doing single late varieties to store, dry store for Mother's Day. So that's kind of my like plan. But
plan.
I'm just like in this, you know, you're in the trenches with it. And I'm like, there has to be a better way. And so that has to be a better way to me is like, okay, well, let's figure out what a better way is. Because they really are so – they require so much labor. And – but it really is the bulk of our early spring, you know, for us.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, you know, I'm in this – like up and down. I don't know if you do this where you're like, oh my gosh, I have way too many. And then
and then
you sell them all and then they're gone. And then the next, I'm like, now I don't have enough. You know, Easter, we were buying from another farm because we didn't have enough. It just, this is like up and down. Where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have too many. Oh my gosh, I don't have enough, you know? And it was just kind of this whole, and it just sort of evens out. But I'm always looking for an easier way. Mm-hmm. How long can we store them in a cooler?
Yeah.
You know, the cooler freezes. There's just always so much drama with tulips.
And with customers, I think tulips are hard with customers because, you know, I've said this before, but I try not to grow as many like yard flowers because when people start seeing them in their yards, then it's like the customer value in their eyes goes down, whether mine's like a peony, like double tulip, and they're just thinking of like the single ones that have been coming up, the same ones in their yard for the last, like the customer's value goes down, how they value the tulip. So that's why we did all of ours in the greenhouse this year. And then we had some for field ones for Tulip You Pick, which were beautiful. But the greenhouse ones, man, it's just such a controlled, they're just so happy in there. And it's just a controlled scenario. And the other like hard thing about tulips is that staffing or employee wise. So especially like they were very hard when we were a one man band, basically.
Yeah.
Because they just take like two times a day running through them, Saturdays and Sundays. And they're always blooming at inopportune times. And we've spent many Easters harvesting tulips.
Oh, yeah.
Before the Easter bunny arrived in the morning.
Yes.
And it's tough. They're just one of those.
Well, it's a great transition to our topic today, though.
Yes.
Okay. Because it is one of those crops that everybody wants to grow as a farmer in the beginning. And it's hard to know how many to grow. And so today we're talking about numbers, and we're not talking about vanity metrics like how many followers do you have. We're talking about like really important numbers, like critical number that you should be paying attention to with every single crop. So I think tulips are a perfect example of that. So not just go like, I'm going to grow 7,000 tulips because I think that sounds like a good number and I grew 4,000. Why are you growing 7,000? Like, how are you going to move those into the next season? And so, today we're talking numbers. So stick with us. I swear it's going to be a good episode, though we're talking. It's a very important episode.
What we do is so emotional too. I mean,
yes.
Just like we've gotten better over the years, you know, with managing our emotions and like riding the waves of farming a little bit better. We really need to record our chats before we get on to record, because basically, okay, this is what it looks like. We get on and then we just like back and forth about all of the issues we're having. And then I just always feel better. It's like I'm an external processor.
Same.
That's why it's always good to talk those things out. And Judd's not an external processor. He just wants to fix it and be done. So he thinks I'm always shooting holes in his ideas, but really I'm just like processing what could go wrong. So anyways. Yeah. So because like we are always physically exhausted and my social battery gets exhausted. So it is very easy to make emotional decisions in flower farming. And that's where you have to have the backbone of your numbers. That is such an important thing. So just trying to make those decisions on actual facts that are happening in your business. Because I've been there before. I've been like, wow, we did really great. But when I looked at the numbers, the story was a little bit different. Because let's say, I think full services weddings is a good example of this too.
Yeah.
It's like the number seems high, but all the inputs are so much higher. Like you're ordering in extra flowers and doing all this. So it can be very deceiving. So that's where this number piece is just so important. And as a business owner, it's so important for us to have like an overall snapshot, us be able to have a snapshot to look at our business, like even from a high level, which is really important. And so it's like you can have these certain numbers that you want to hit, and they could be goals. They could be a lot of different things. And you're going to have to decide that for your farm. And we'll give you lots of examples of the way that we look at that. But it really is just something that can really provide you with clarity. And you're going to know what needs attention, what needs improvement. And you're going to that's what I love about what we do. And Lindsay, you just said it. It's like every time we do something, we're like, how can this be better? How can it be improved? What needs more focus next year? Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's not looking at, you know, I think I look at something that comes. So the frustration of the tulips, right? In the moment, I'm like, okay, this felt like a lot of labor. So I'm like, okay, well, this is this is an area that I want to look at. So I started tracking, I'm tracking all the labor that went into it. And that goes through Mother's Day until I move the last tulip out of here, you know, processing them, the planting. And I'm going to really be looking at that. But to me, it's like, it's not a problem. It's just finding a solution for it to make a decision on whether, like, do we keep growing them? I'm selling every bulb, like we're selling them. So it's not that there's waste on that end, but how much money are we actually making off of that? You know, so not looking at it as a, I don't know, that piece of it is what kind of fires me up to like find the solution for it versus just being swallowed up by it, you know, because I've not sold things before. I mean, the downloads that Shannon and I were talking about before, I mean, I'm having like the worst ranunculus year ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's high drama.
Ranunculus gate.
It's ranunculus gate. I can't do another one. It's just, oh. And once I get the full pathology, entomology, I've got every mology people looking at it because there's so many issues.
Mologies you didn't even know existed.
But yeah. I'm like, okay, send it to that department too. I will download that with you guys when I'm done. But it's the story that I tell myself about it that makes it that it's okay. So when I'm seeing these ranunculus melt down, you know, for me to not melt down, I'm like, we'll figure it out. We have what we have. It's not making up a story in my mind to say, oh, I'm a failure or, you know, I'm not going to be able to have enough Mother's Day flowers. We're going to have enough Mother's Day flowers to sell to what we have. Like what we have is what we will sell. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, does it give me some anxiety? Yeah, it didn't work out the way I had hoped. Just all of this, the numbers side, this driving back to like how to staying curious about all of it. So if you have like a pain point in the tulips or in your business, this is a perfect way to like put numbers to it. It really putting numbers to any of those pain points always makes it a more clear decision. Because even, you know, you were saying facts versus feelings. I mean, how many tulips do you add onto your order over feelings where you're like,
100%.
I could do an extra 1,000 of whatever, Columbus, or whatever the variety is. You're like, I think I could move that. But is that the smart decision to make? Mm-hmm. You know, so.
I know. And it's just like, you know, in business, I think even in life, you know, what we focus on grows. So no matter what it is that you're looking at in your business, let's use like the labor example for instance. Let's say Lindsay tracks her labor and she sees that, wow, the labor is like high on this. And so it's making my tulip as a crop less profitable. Well, then that can give you so much input. It's like, how can we plant tulips faster? What are efficiencies that we can do to make this go? Then it's like, it really can just drive all these important business decisions that and every year you're going to get better, you know, and that's where, you know, Lindsay and I are on chapter 8 years, you know, and you might just be at chapter 1 and maybe you planted your first tulips and they're short. And it's like, I think, was it last week? I did a post that was like, are we like team love tulips? Or are we team hate tulips? And I'm like generally on the hate. I'm happy to see them at first. But somebody said, I need to get some of this hate because I like absolutely love them. I'm like, I got enough to share. Where do I start?
It's also like a little bit of suck it up when you're in it. Like I had that conversation with myself. I'm like, Lindsay, this lasts for like 15 days.
Yes, you're good.
I mean, you don't have to touch these things again until fall. You know?
I know.
It's fine.
And just like finding these little points that you can focus on. And to me, it's like the key is simplicity. Okay. Tracking one thing, not a gazillion things, and you can be so informed in so many ways. So that's kind of what we're talking about today, is like this idea of a critical number. So our goal, I guess, today is for you to leave here and be able to take a little bit of a magnifying glass on your own farm. So are you tracking the numbers that you need to? What is the most important numbers that you should be tracking in your business? And how are we keeping it simple enough so we are actually going to do it? Okay, because we've all made those promises to ourselves that we're going to do this, that, and the other, and they don't happen. But I think if we simplify it down to just a few numbers, and that can show you some of the overall health in your business.
Yeah. And I think give yourself like a pat on the back that you haven't like turned the show off yet.
Like, okay,
because we're listening when we're talking about numbers today. And, you know, looking at your numbers, I mean, it can feel overwhelming, but we really do. We just want to make it easier mm-hmm. for you just to simplify the whole thing. And that, you know, some of you are going to hear this today and you're going to feel super excited about it and you're going to want to like hit the ground running. And what you just said up there too, Shannon, is like my mom always says, where your attention goes, your energy flows.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so what you start paying attention to, and if you want to pay attention to this, if you really put your energy into looking at these critical numbers, you're going to see a difference in your mm-hmm. business. And that's what you and I both did that. I mean, yeah. We always had this conversation about numbers and kept the business piece at the forefront. And I think, mm-hmm. I mean, I love growing. Obviously, I went to school for horticulture. I'm a total plant nerd and I get ate up with that stuff. But I am equally as excited and get energized yeah. about the business side and figuring it out because it feels yeah. like there's a solution.
And I don't think you have to be like super strong in one side or like me. Like I'll admit, like even Judd and I both together, like are we like the most supreme flower growers ever in history with like the perfect soil pH and like all of yeah. those things? No, like we're probably not the best flower growers. Can we grow a crap ton of sellable stems? Enough. Yes. And then, but the key is selling them. So I feel like some people are like all these limiting beliefs, you know, mm-hmm. the first one, like, okay, no, we've heard this too from the insiders. Like, well, I'm just like not really a numbers person. Like, what does that even mean? What is a numbers person? You can do it. It's I promise you really do not have to be a numbers person. And even if you're just starting out, like I promise you this is not overkill. It's more just training yourself to mm-hmm. start looking at these things. And really it's kind of like a habit, you know, it's a routine.
I mean, didn't I share on here that was the only class that I didn't actually take at Ohio State? I transferred accounting in. Yeah, I was like D or something at Ohio State. And I was like, this is not going to affect my GPA. So I took it at Columbus State and transferred in with a tutor. Okay.
Wow.
And I know. I don't even know what I got. I think I got like a B or something when I transferred. I don't even know how.
And look at you now.
Right. But no. So the numbers thing, I understand that it's intimidating. It can be super intimidating because, I mean, if you would have seen when I first started setting up my QuickBooks, I was like, I was Googling things like, what does chart of accounts? And now I consult with people on it. Yes. So it's only because you wanted to figure it out. So
yeah, I agree.
I know. I mean, you always say too, like 90% of the battle is just showing up. You know, if you take the action, mm-hmm. you have to take action. You have to take a step towards something. And it really, that's over half the battle.
Mm-hmm. So I know we were talking, we talk about this all the time, that business is hard. So this is where this number piece is really going to help you. And each year we get the opportunity to do better. One of the blessings of farming is that it's a clean slate every single year. So it can be so hard. You know, farming is hard. So when I first started farming, I was like so hungry for education. I did a lot of learning through reading and podcasts. And I kept saying to myself, this was like something that I had written down, was that how many other success stories do I need to hear before I decide to make myself a success story? And that really like, because I'm such a learner that way. You know, I'm like listening to other people. And I think like even a lot of you guys tune in to listen to us, which is such a weird turn of events. Mm-hmm. So, but it really is. So it's just, I really think that if you hang with us today, you know, our goal is to get you actively working towards your own success story, and you guys can do it. So this is kind of the idea of critical number. You might have heard this before, maybe in other podcasts. I don't know. But this is like the goal is that is a super simplified way to look and create a number that you look at in your business.
Let's just dig into the critical number. So knowing your critical number, and what is it? So your critical number is the number of units you need to sell for one product that drives your business. So focus is key here. So like what product is absolutely critical for the ongoing of your success? Like what's the best seller? What's the number one thing, like the hottest thing that you sell? And looking at the number of units that you have to sell to make that said thing work. So it could be number of CSA subscriptions. Mm-hmm. It could be, I mean, honestly, anything.
Sponges.
Yeah, florist lunches.
A la carte weddings.
Yes. So number of workshops. So mm-hmm. when I do this for mine for the year, so I was just in it today and was looking. I do a budgeted amount. So I have a set sales goal that I want to hit for, and you don't have to do this for every single one. We're talking just simplifying it for one thing that you know is going to be your bestseller. Or maybe you're starting a UPIC and you say, mm-hmm. I need to sell so many jars per week for the 15 weeks that I'm open or 16 weeks that I'm open for the season, whatever it is. And I did that too. So we're changing, I'll use that example. So this year we're changing how we're doing our UPIC because of just my life right now. And so we're only going to be open on Saturdays for my UPIC, which is a huge change for us. And I don't know if it's going to be permanent, I don't know if it's going to be temporary, but I have a set number that I have to hit that is my goal number to sell on Saturdays. And I have, you know, so for that for me is my critical number at the end of the year that I want to sell X number of dollars at, you know, so I know what that calculates out by buckets, by cups, and I break that down into a spreadsheet. So I do that for every single part of my business. We'll take my wholesale accounts with my florist and I look at like what each of them, what I sold them number of bunches last year, and I'm trying to hit that goal number and I'm looking at it every single week. Like, what did we sell them? What are we at? You know, what is that number? And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking to you today about critical number. So it's the number of units that you need to sell for absolutely everything that you do sell.
Yeah, I think a good example on our farm is because I've been kind of going through this process as we've added some different, you know, revenue streams. So kind of a look at my critical number is for me, it's mixed bouquets. And I sell lots of different like varieties of mixed bouquets, like some are grocery and some are retail and some. I just track that number. I don't care that it's what price point that it's at. So for me, how many mixed bouquets I'm selling is a very good way for me to get a snapshot of how my business is doing. Do I sell other things? 100%. I sell buckets, arrangements, I sell to florists, all of that. But really our mixed bouquet business is the heart of our farm. That's markets, flower stand, grocery, other wholesale bouquet, you know, events, all of that. So the mixed bouquet is the heart of my farm. And I really spend a lot of time planning for it because that is my number one important thing. So I'm always looking for efficiencies for mixed bouquets because that is like what I really spend a lot of time tracking. And so I think this is where people get bogged down because it's like, oh, I need to track like every single status bunch or whatever. And you can do that in QuickBooks 100%. But that's not something that you can't look at the number of status bunches that you've sold and get an overall snapshot of the health of your business. So I really think try to do what is the biggest and best thing that you do. And then what that also does is gives you the focus to then make improvements. So let's say I'm trying to give you guys some examples so that you can kind of figure out for your farms what this would be. But let's say that you're just getting started and you want to start off doing a CSA. Okay. Well, what is the number of units that you have to sell to make your farm income be whatever your goals are? So you figure out what that number is and that becomes essentially your critical number. So you can get snapshots of what that looks like seasonally and you'll know how many you have to sell and you can kind of create goals from that too. But the one thing that it can give you is, which is really important in business, is clarity. So focusing on how am I going to make my CSAs better for my customers? How am I putting it in my bouquets? What's the presentation with it? How am I communicating with them? How am I making them feel special? Why your marketing, it gives you marketing clarity too. So it's so important for that. So I think it's like, it's partly is like focusing on the number, but it's also giving clarity for like how your marketing voice comes so that you can really put emphasis into that one piece that is the driver of your business. We all do a lot of different things, you know, and it's going to be that one piece that you can focus on so that if the other things fall to the side, you know, you still have something to track essentially.
And I think you're right too. Like it gives you even clarity with how to hit that from a marketing standpoint. Yes. Like you then become motivated to hit that number. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so farmers market for us is a huge piece of our business. And we do the same thing. We look at our number of bouquets that we need to sell at the farmers market every week. Like that's our, and we look at that whole piece collectively. So then we turn it into this year at the farm, because we have different girls that are working the farmers markets, we turn it into like a little competition. So we have like an award, like it's a little trophy that they can actually put flowers into. This is like has a funny saying on the bottom of the trophy with a cash bonus for them, whoever wins, and then bragging rights for the year for whoever hits the highest market. And that in itself, they all know, like they know the critical number that they have to hit, and it helps them. Like, I know it sounds silly, but it's like it gets the employee or even you, if it's just you working the market, engaged into having sort of your eye on the prize, because you kind of know what you need to hit. And then also, like, if something isn't working, how do we make adjustments to it? And and that could be in marketing. Do you make changes? Like, let's say if it's at our farmers market, do we run an event? You know, we don't really typically ever run sales, but do we need to push it more in our email marketing? Do we need to do a collaboration with another booth? Is there something that we need to do to get people down there? So that's one way, you know, of looking at the critical numbers of how we kind of keep tracking those. So
yeah, and like a lot of our examples have been kind of like units sold, but if you're just getting started out and the units thing is you can't decide on one thing. You know, some people will make like a critical number that's either a weekly or a daily gross revenue. So if you're just starting out, maybe you could set a business goal like that to say, hey, each week I need to be earning X number of dollars, and then figuring that out. I don't mind the daily gross revenue one, but I really do think that if you pick a revenue stream that you want to focus on, it will provide you a lot more. To me, the daily gross revenues, it works for some people. It kind of depends on your business. But for me, I really like to have more of the focus in how I'm marketing and what needs improvements. The daily gross revenue, in my opinion, is like a little too high level, but I just thrive after more knowing the detail piece. So it kind of depends too. But I know that there are some businesses out there that do use that daily or weekly gross revenue piece too, if you wanted that to be your critical number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can look at like my flower stand or my farmer's market or something on a weekly basis and see like where there was variability. Mm-hmm. And we always make notes. We track them in a separate spreadsheet too. Mm-hmm. But you can just have like a crappy sales day and then you know, you have a workshop and something takes off, you know. Yeah. So I tend to look at things on a bigger scale on that. I'm the same way. So
yeah.
So how do you determine your metric? So when you're determining your critical number, you look at the amount of money generated from one item. Okay. So this is, Shan, do you want to talk about this? Because I know this is you're kind of looking at your overall sales with your mixed bouquets.
So let's say like mixed bouquets is a good example. And like I kind of mentioned before, like I'm just talking mixed bouquets as a unit. Do I sell it to grocery stores a little bit cheaper? Yeah. And is my retail cost a lot higher? Yeah. But I don't care. I'm just tracking the unit. So for me, let's say I look last year, and these are just hypothetical numbers to make the math easy. But last year I made $100,000 on mixed bouquets. And my goal this year is that I want to make $150,000. Well, how many mixed bouquets do I need to sell to get here? So for me, that's, I will literally lay it out. I'm going to be like, I know I need to have X number going to Acme. And in my May 720 market, I need to sell, you know, I don't know, like 100 bouquets there. So for me, I try to have a map, and that's where, like, going back to Lindsay's piece with the farmers markets, especially if you have employees, it's really important because there needs to be goals, you know? So for me, it's like, if I'm not meeting my Acme goal for whatever reason, I'm like, what am I making up to get to that critical number? So, that's how I kind of look at it. So it really is that's how you track it. So you could use this example for CSA. Let's just do that. Or you pick tickets. That's a good one. And it's going to be variable. Like, are there going to be ups and downs? Yes. But if you are seeing your critical number being below where you want it to be, then you need to start focusing on how to better that product and how to market that product better. But if you're marketing too many things at one time, that's where the critical number gives you is a little extra focus. So for me, I have a spreadsheet that I kind of track these things weekly and daily on. That's going back again, we like to harp the importance of having an accounting software, QuickBooks, a spreadsheet, anything to track what you're doing is going to help you determine all this. So that's how I kind of make it. So it's a mixture of goals, but it really is so that you're staying on track and you're saying, this is what I need to make money. And for me, that oftentimes is like, how much do I need? What's my break even number? Well, clearly I want to do more than break even. So what's that? Is it 30%? Is it 40%? Is it 50%? And that's going to look different for you. You know, in my earlier years, my profit margin was a lot less because I was way less efficient and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was still figuring it out. So now that I'm more, have more processes and I am a more seasoned flower farmer, grower, everything is easier now that I've had that 8 years of experience, that my flowers, they're more profitable to me. So try not to like overdo that. But for me, it's like about setting the goal. So that's how I kind of look at it. So I think, you know, at that point, like determining your critical number, that's how you would figure that out. And the thing about the critical number, and this is super key, and Lindsay kind of mentioned this before, is that everybody knows the number. Okay. And it's really important because it's a team. So if you feel like you have employees, it's like, yay, you know, we sold, I don't know, X number flat farm stand bouquets this week. Yeah. Yay, the team did it. You know, how are we going to make them more beautiful? What are we giving the customers different to get them back this week? You know, there's like a lot of planning and marketing stuff that goes into that too, which is really fun and nice with the employees.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard people say like, oh, I wouldn't share those numbers with my employees. And I think, man, we're all up there like making the bouquets and sharing all that stuff. And they can do math. They know how many they're taking if they wanted to count. Yeah. They do inventory at the beginning and the end. So they know, they know what they're taking anyway. And I think you're right. It keeps everybody on the same page. And I think I'm way more into transparency and selling it. And that goes with the expenses side too. You know, I don't feel like I need to hide anything with that with them, but you're right. It does. It like creates buy-in and, it helps them sort of like understand that they're making an impact. You know, like we came in this morning, it was Monday morning. We had a big market this weekend. We had farmers market and a local pop-up market. And, you know, they worked their tails off last week. Yeah. And I said, we sold everything. You know, we brought a couple things home. And so that is engaging for them too, to know like, okay, it wasn't for naught. You know, it's still like they're impacting the business. So,
and have you ever been, you know, a manager who's been like, well, they're never going to be me. And well, the difference between you and them is that you know the goal you're trying to hit, truly. You know, you're like, oh, you know, hey, oh, crap, I still got, you know, 3 buckets of bouquets to sell. Like, I'm going to rearrange these. I'm going to fluff them. I'm going to move them around. You know, you're more engaged because you know the goal. So that I think letting the employees in on that is so important. It's so good. You know,
a little Amazon trophy, then they really step it up. I looked to get a belt buckle. I looked to get one of those like a champion belt. Those are so expensive. They're like $200.
Like a pro wrestling?
Yes, that's what I really wanted. And then I wanted like a wrestling belt so they could just – then I was like, a trophy's probably better for they can have it in their house. And I got it where they could put little flowers in it. But I was like – I mean, people are really buying these. There's a market for those belts. So, man, anyway, holy cow. So, okay. So now that you've like, if you've determined your critical number, so here's the next question you need to ask yourself. And that is, what is the marketing activity that sells the item that you're tracking? So the thing that sells the thing. Mm-hmm. And how do you, this goes back up to where your attention goes, your energy flows. Thank you, Mama Beale. And it's really, if you are truly focused on marketing, you put your energy into marketing and selling that particular thing, I promise you, you will hit that number. You will hit that critical number because if you're going into it with that, I can figure it out attitude on like finding a solution. Cause I promise you that it's there. Fear is still going to be there, right? Like we were still talking about all of those. You're still going to have fear that pops up and says like, what are you trying? You know, like you can't track this or, you know, you don't have enough customers to your social media sucks. There's too many other people selling, you know, somebody else is already doing it. Somebody else beat me to it. I mean, you could go on and on to hear that little voice in there. And it's like, no, just quieting that and going like, nope, I'm going to figure out how to get it. And then you become, when you figure out, you focus on finding a solution for it, you find a solution for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what activities are you going to do to support selling you know, your best seller and your critical number unit. So like, what can you do that gets you to that critical number?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that examples that we can give you that, so, you know, that would give you that. So for example, with the UPIC, so where we felt like we had a lag in some of our UPIC traffic and constantly analyzing, what is it? Is it the time of day? Is it was it the weather? Is it, are people burnt out? Then we started bringing back our $5 off refills, and we were giving our repeat customers a discount. We started doing, one weekend we did a free, we did a flower crown. So they came, if they picked, they got to make these like cute little flower crowns. Yeah. It was super easy for us. It was, they were very simple, but we had record sales just by doing something different. And so for me, it was like, knowing that I have a number I need to hit for that specific thing, then it really, you know, redirected my attention to that and increased the overall and got me to the goal. So,
yeah. And I think like even just using the mixed bouquet example, like I have this written like somewhere where I have like little notes for myself, but I really think you should remember that, like, what's the thing that sells the thing. And like, I noticed for my mixed bouquets, because I've been concentrating on that, is that my customers love when I take a photo above my bouquets.
I know.
So I smash a bunch of bouquets together and I take a photo, and that's what they like. Yeah. Every time I do that, and pay attention to what, then if you're tracking your critical number, you'll see what marketing activities are working on that. So that's how my customers like to see the bouquets. You know, so now I'm like, okay, I'm going to just really try to be consistent about taking that photo. And if you're using our little marketing trick that we shared like a long time ago, but every time you take a photo, take a video, and then you'll have like this little bank of videos that you can put together to make reels or whatever it is. But for me and my mixed bouquets, every single time, it's that same freaking picture. I'm like, you guys want to see this any different? Nope.
They just, your little like marketing that trick cost me money, by the way.
But why?
Because I had to get Apple like a terabyte or something on Apple. I now have to pay $10 a month because they were like, you're running out of storage. And I'm like, okay.
I know.
Oh, my pictures. I was like so good. I was always like so organized. And then now I'm like, it's over.
I am not like that.
They're over.
I have like,
well, I know you have so many tabs. We've already talked about this. You're the tab queen email inbox out of control. We're very different. You're like my mom. I love you both, but we're just different. And it is such a great hack. But
yeah, and just look at, if you're a CSA farm and that's the thing you're focusing on, do you have like a very beautiful guide? Is it your referral program for your CSA? Like, what is it? Like, you know, I still listen to a lot of podcasts. One podcast that I really like is, and this applies to like a lot of retail type businesses, like their idea is like a free trial. You know, what's the free trial sells the things. I'm like, well, how can I do that in my flower business? So, you know, that's what I'm trying to brainstorm. I hate the word free, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, so now I'm trying to brainstorm how to do that. I'll keep you updated because that's on my list for this month. Mm. But because people react to wanting either something free, as much as I hate it, and they like the word trial. I'm like, how can we try this out? I don't know. I'm going to try to figure it out for my business. Mm-hmm. But it's just really interesting. So think about what it is that sells. Let's say you're a boutique flower farm and you're selling to florists. Well, what is it to your florist? Like, how are you making it easier on your florist to order from you? So what is it? Beautiful photography of your flowers that you're sending them every week. For me, with my florist, the thing that sells the thing is a phone call on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. So it's going to look different for you no matter what it is, but really just trying to have the ability to sit down and brainstorm these things and focus and see what's working. And the critical number, it gives you focus. And I think that's kind of what we're really preaching here today more than anything, is establishing what that number is for yourself. And maybe each year you focus on something different, and that's okay too, you know, as your business changes, and that's good. But yeah, and I think really it's like, being persistent and being consistent is going to win the game. How are Lindsay and I still doing this 8-9 years later? It's because we've been incredibly persistent and we have been consistent with our customers, you know, and now we're like good old reliable.
That's right.
Which is nice, you know, good to be there.
Well, I think too, from the marketing effort you were talking about is like viewing that item. If you don't know what the thing is that sells your thing, it's like asking people to having the conversation and just paying attention. But also I really, every year I'm trying to look at what is it like to shop my website? If someone says to me like something's hard to find or it's difficult or they couldn't find it, I'm paying attention to that to change the navigations around to make things easier, to make, you know, more shoppable, putting in an express checkout, you know, trying to make things better. But just looking, not being afraid to look at it from the outside perspective and saying like, is that font too difficult to read? Is it?
Well, little things.
You know, how do you make it the easiest thing for them to shop it? You said you don't like the word free.
I hate the word
free. I did a post tonight. Yeah. Listen, my phone is blowing up right now. I did a post on how many calla lilies am I holding, okay, on Facebook. It has like 500 and some comments. 300 of them are spam, so I'm going to have to delete it. My phone is blowing up with my friends texting me saying, hey, it said I won. And then
please don't click the link. How long have we been doing this?
All I said was like you would get a free bouquet. I didn't realize I would get spammed. Well, people are talking about me now. I guess it worked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like so annoying.
Yes, it is.
God. So gosh, don't write free. Don't put free in there. What if you did like a the free trial was like they get to hold the bouquet and they try on what it looks like in their selfie. You like what you look like? Oh,
and sorry, that's not selfie. Yours yet.
Pay up. It's like, get a cute selfie station, let them hold it.
Yeah. I know. I'm gonna have to think about that. I know. Because that works. In the business world, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pause. I realize I'm like literally sitting in the dark.
You are in the dark.
Hold on.
It's all right. We're almost done.
Okay. It's like, fine. I hope no one's using this video. It's like, Blair Witch Project.
That would be really funny. Don't cut that out anyway. Just leave that in there.
I'm literally in the dark.
Oh, it's all right.
Okay, we're almost done.
We're almost done. Yeah.
The sun's been going down, and along with it, my office lighting.
Yes. That's how I end up – my office lighting's never great anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Okay. So here are a few pitfalls that you can bump into. We already talked about fear. Okay. Yeah. Well, fear shows up as indecision or slow to take action. That's just a form of fear. So if you're like stuck in that analysis paralysis, you know, you need to make decisions and move forward with force.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't just waver too long on a decision, because that's really just fear of making a decision and being wrong. Because the slower you are, the less opportunities you have to be successful, to have a win and kind of build that confidence. So move with speed, move with intention. I think I shared this one time before, like when I was moving, I had to make this decision when I was graduating from Ohio State, whether I was going to move to Maryland. And I was like, what am I moving to Maryland for? You know, I had this great job offer and I just was like very insecure and like, just confused about what decision to make. And somebody said, well, there's no wrong decision. You just make a different one. And that stuck with me. And it was like, oh yeah. Okay. That's not a mistake. I don't have to label it a mistake. I just label it as like, I did it and it was a choice. I think we can attach to this idea of like, oh, I made a bad decision. Even in business, like you have to try something. And even with me, you know, there's parts of my business now that I'm like making transitions and like navigating to a different way that I'm doing business because I needed to do it to figure out if I really liked it, if it was making me money. It doesn't mean I failed. I was successful at it. I just pieces of it that aren't working for me. So don't get stuck in the pitfall, the common pitbull. I know. Pitbull radio. Don't get stuck in indecision. Just, you know, Shannon and I have always said we're kind of fire ready aim people.
Yes,
I'm not saying that's the right way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it's the only way.
Like, just aimlessly go through life. Just
we're energized by
it's
risk.
Bit me. There is a little bit of risk. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm currently doing something like very risky with my tulips with a storage method that I'm doing, but I kind of went all in. My mom's like, that's just kind of what you do, isn't it? I'm like, it is. And sometimes it really bites me. And sometimes it's a win.
We're gathering data points. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
You know, got to do it.
Yeah. But I getting yourself, you know, to take action is super important.
Yeah. You know, like we still do this every once in a while, but over analysis. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm really doing this with my YouPick tulips. I know Lindsay and I were talking about it, but I'm in a state of over analysis, and Judd just literally told me, like, I need to calm down, because I'll be like laying ready to go to sleep at night, and I'm like, but what if we opened it up 1 hour later? Stupid things, you know. He's like, okay with the tulips. I can't do it. And then, so I'm like, I told Rachel, I'm like, I'm not talking about it anymore. I'm done. I'm moving on. But even us, like, we're still do this as new things come up. And so, like, it's funny because when we add new things, like Lindsay and I, into our business, like, I do find myself in that stage of like beginnerness again.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it because it's exciting to figure something out, and I also hate it. But I have to tell myself, like, you need to chill, you know.
Yeah.
Make the decision and go. And I think one other thing is just like, really just don't be somebody who's always finding excuses or the reason why something won't work. Like, when you find yourself resisting something, it's really good to ask why. And sometimes it's more other people's perceptions than what the actual truth is. And just, again, even using that critical number just to give you clarity is going to help you out of that too, I think, a little bit. So, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, farming
is
hard.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Yeah. I'm officially dark. Like,
you really
share
are.
This video.
Yeah, we should. Blair Witch over here. Oh, hey, you have not posted my gift that I sent you.
I'm going to. Well, the funny thing is, I don't have Crocs right now. My son stole it. Well, he borrowed them, and now I only have one Croc.
Oh my God. So how does that happen?
I know.
Sounds like a college drinking. That's Long Island Lindsay days. Only come back to your apartment with one Croc.
Shoe.
One shoe. Oh, yes. That's so funny.
No, I'm actually very conflicted on what color Croc I need to get. So I just need to get a new pair of Crocs.
Well, to know, if you want to know what we're talking about, Shannon's going to show you at some point.
Yes.
But I sent Shannon a couple gifts in the mail. And it's amazing. I can't wait. It's making me so happy.
Okay, now I'm going to go get my Crocs because
What are your color choices? Can I help you with this?
Well, usually I'm a black. Normally I just get black ones because, you know, dirty feet, dirt, you know, the whole thing. But then I've been thinking, well, maybe I'll get like a bright, fun color, but then it doesn't really go with anything. I don't know. I'll just probably
I
get
don't think
black.
Bright colors are supposed to go with things. I think that's the
true.
Point.
They're just
like running shoes. If I get bright running shoes, then they're just meant to like not go with anything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like Crocs. They're just so fashionable. So I'm just really trying to make the right decision and be as fashion forward as I can be.
Yeah. Do you do the little heel strap or do you tuck it? Do you ride it forward?
I'm typically in like go – well, Judd says go mode.
Yeah.
But I think it's like what are the two Croc modes?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'll report
this is funny because this is like
– I know a gift I'm going to send you.
Oh, no.
What's your shoe size?
I'm not telling you. Guess. Oh, my gosh. I just don't know how you do the dirty – toe, like the sand. I got so much sand. I feel like they're always so dirty anyway. Oh man, that's so funny. You don't
I will be sharing that soon. So you guess if you don't already follow us at Dirt on Flowers, you're gonna miss out on the big reveal.
Yep.
Which my kids are so infatuated with Lindsay's gift. Like they just take it out and look at it. You guys are really gonna want to know what this is. We'll go get my Crocs and post it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys have learned something. I mean, this is critical number for me was kind of business changing. It really took me from overanalyzing too many numbers to just looking at one and then focusing on how to improve it. And I think everybody can benefit from knowing their critical number. So I really hope you guys have enjoyed this episode today. As always, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. Can you leave our podcast a review? We haven't really asked for a little while, so I'm hoping that wherever you're listening, hop on, give us a big virtual hug and help other people find us, because we have like the best group of dirt bags with some dirt bag merch
coming
soon.
Like seriously coming. We're not just saying it's coming.
Yeah, it's happening.
Oh, sorry. I know you're closing this out, but so you guys have given us some feedback too about like we need to be better about putting things in show notes when we say it. We've made that improvement.
Yes.
So moving forward, we are improving on that. So thank you for that feedback. Yeah. So you guys have been – that's very helpful for us. So we appreciate it. So
we have a Caitlin now.
We do. Podcast manager.
Yes, who's helping us just become more organized and everything. So I mean, your feedback is so important in every way. So especially each week when we're trying to figure out what it is that you guys need from us. What do you want to hear? And that's the magic that happens at Dirt on Flowers on Instagram. Every Sunday, typically, we post a question box. And you can put, hey, we'll ask you, like, what are you struggling with? What do you need? And that's where we really get all of these episode ideas from. And it's just such an important touch base from us to you. So if you don't already follow us over there at Dirt on Flowers, drop us a comment. I'm going to be dropping a bombshell Lindsay gift this week over there so you can be part of all the fun. Okay, guys, thank you so much for being here. We really hope that you loved today's episode as much as we loved recording it for you. As always, we'll see you at the same time, same place next week.